Blog Talk.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Israel. Shalom, Shalom to you, brothers and sisters out there. Thank you for tuning in tonight right here for a special broadcast right here on Culture Freedom Radio, brought to you by Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. Liberation Tabernacle of Yah present to you tonight. Purim lecture. Oh, yes, sir. This is one of our high holy days. Y'all hear what I said? A high holy day, not a holiday, which you're known to have throughout the Christian world and so forth. In Israel, and they say even in Judaism, is a high holy day. Yes, sir, indeed. Yeah, and tonight we have for you a special lecture brought to you by the Moray, and Rabbi David Israel will be giving you a wonderful lecture tonight, going into and explaining to you about Purim. Yes, yes, a joyous, I can say it, day right here we're having going into tonight and also going into tomorrow for Purim, a celebration, man, celebrating this wonderful, beautiful Queen Esther. Yes, sir, wonderful story of Esther. Yes, sir, indeed. So before we do that, we have to get a couple of things in order right here for Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. We always have to give you the Most High Yah some praise and glory and honor. So all praises, all glory, and all honor goes out to the Universal King of the Universe, that they say the heavens and the earth and everything therein. All praises due to Yah Hate Hawat Hate. Yes, indeed. We give you the glory and all praises to you and you alone. No partners has Yah, none whatsoever. And we want to just open up with a prayer, and then we're going to have some other things before we get into the lecture. So this is how we have to open up and get things started. So let's, first of all, let's give Yah some praise and ask Yah to give his attention to our prayers. So right now we open up with a prayer. In the name of the Most High, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, all praise to the Most High Yah, our Creator, the Cherisher and Sustainer of our lives, the Creator of our lives, and the one who we called on in need of help, and just give praise to Yah all the time. Whether is it help or not, just give Yah the praise. And when the things are going bad and when the things are going good, we call on the Most High Yah, our Creator. Most High Yah, we need you right now to keep watching over us. Protect us in this time right now, as ever more, when there seem to be so much evil lurking in the world, so much disagreeable that's lurking in the world right now, dear Father Yah. We ask that you watch over us and keep us, sustain our lives, dear Father Yah. Not only the ones of Israel, not only the ones who are of Israel, but all of those who seek you and seek to do your will and seek to follow your commandments and just want to do what is right, dear Father Yah, unto their mother mankind. We call on you and thank you, dear Father Yah, on this wonderful night of Shabbat as we try to keep it and observe this day of rest. And we thank you and say amen. Yes, sir, indeed. And as well, brothers and sisters, before we get into Esther, what we call the Megillah of Esther. And the Megillah means just Megillah in Hebrew is a word that says the long story or the explanation of the book of Esther. So before we do that, we have some blessings that we have to read. And I will be reading these blessings, these three blessings, out of my stone Tanakh. And if we was in a congregation setting, and well, we all was in a big congregation, y'all can see, we can see each other and whatnot. And when these three blessings, after each of the blessings that be read, you will say amen. But since we're not into a congregation setting of this, I will just say the word amen. All right. And then we're going to bring on the Rabbi, the Moray David Israel, to give us his wonderful lecture telling us about Esther and the wonderful thing that she did, yes, sir, and saved the Jewish people or the Israelite people. So we read here, first blessings. Blessed are you, Yahweh our Elohim, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us regarding the reading of the Megillah of Esther. Amen. Blessed be you, Yahweh our Elohim, King of the universe, who has wrought miracles for our forefathers in those days at this season Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this season. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. That is the blessings that we read right there as we get ready to go into what they call the Megillah of Esther. Yes, sir. The long version of Esther. And one more thing right here. We got to do this here, brothers. We're going to read. I'm going to play a song. Some beautiful sisters, man. I'm telling you, beautiful sisters singing the Shammai of Israel. Y'all know Shammai Israel is what we read. That is basically our what we call the decoration of, in Islam, they have something called the decoration of faith. But this is our declaration of faith as we read. It's supposed to be read day in the morning, evening, basically three portions of the day, throughout the day. Three portions of the day. Get it right, Brother Arya. As this is our declaration of faith. This is coming out of the book of Devarim, we call Devarim, which I'll call Deuteronomy. It is coming out of Deuteronomy 6 and 4, and it's called, and it basically we say the Shammai mean, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim," or "Elohim our power, Yahweh is one and only." But I want to play some this beautiful, these sisters singing the Shammai, and then we'll bring the Moray right on in here, all right? Let's get it, brothers and sisters. We want to get in here properly tonight for the Shabbat and Purim, the Bereshit Tabernacle of Yah. Let's get it, brothers and sisters.
Shema, 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 Shema. Shema, 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 Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of glory and kingdom, reign forevermore. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. Blessed be His name, a glorious kingdom made forevermore. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. Blessed be His name, a glorious kingdom.
Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Now the portion of the end of it, there's the Messianic congregation, but all right. But the other part is Shabbat. Yes, indeed. Let's read it one more time right here. Let's read it one more time in English. And we say right here, the Shema is, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh is one and only. And you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your resources. And all of those matters that I command you today, you shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them throughout to your children, and you shall speak to them while you are sitting in your home, while you are walking on the way, when you retire and when you rise. Bind them as a sign upon your arm and let them be an ornament between your eyes, and write them on your doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Just stop right there. Hallelujah. Shemai. And let's read verse 9. And it says, write them upon your doorposts of your house and upon your gate. You'll see a lot, especially what we call, you see in a lot of the Jewish homes, you'll see something called a mezuzah. I have one on my doorpost in which it has these commandments, the Deuteronomy, the commandments of Deuteronomy, the Shemai. Yes, we have these prayers on our doorposts, and it's called a mezuzah. Yes, sir. But with that one said, I am Moray David. I mean, I'm saying my name, Moray David. Yes, sir. Ready to get into this one right here. I am Moray Arya Israel, and I will pass this class on to our good brother, the Rabbi, the Moray David Israel, for this Purim lecture right here on Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. We thank you right here for listening in live right here, those who are listening in from Blog Talk Radio, and those who will be listening to this later right there on TalkShoe, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and throughout all of the podcasts. We thank you, and may Yah bless you and continue to watch over you and guide you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praises due. Shabbat shalom to Moray David Israel. Shalom, brother. Peace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Shalom. Hallelujah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Got you loud and clear.
All right. I would like to say, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Hamotzei Lecha Min HaAretz. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kideshonu B'mitzvoso V'tezevenu El Mekra Migala. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam She'eseh Nisim Le'evo se'enu be'yomin. Ho he nizman heze. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam She'eshe yo'enu ve'ke'imonu ve'higi'onu lizman heze. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commandments, and commanded us concerning the reading of the Megillah. Amen. Blessed Amen. Are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who performed fathers in those days at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to teach this occasion. Amen.
Amen.
So I was reading out the Siddur, the Megillah in Hebrew. Now, tonight, we're getting into something called Purim. Now, when we're getting into Purim, I want to get out my biblical overview. Even though we are Torah-centered Hebrew Israelites here at Liberation Tabernacle of Yah, me and Moray Ariah Israel, who gave us this beautiful blessing over this Purim night, he opened us up with a great opening. And I thank that brother. I want to say go visit our YouTube page, Liberation Tabernacle Yah. Now, this brother is a beautiful teacher when it comes time for Israel. Y'all have slept on this brother for so long, he got every book in the world. So tell y'all, go to the YouTube page and check this brother out. He goes into Paul. He goes into everything. And he ain't afraid of Paul. So I'm going to put that out there. So anybody know, he goes into the Messianic Hebrews. He goes into Paul, goes into the New Testament. He breaks all of everything down, meanings and everything. So go check that brother's, the brother's YouTube page out, Liberation Tabernacle Yah, on YouTube. Check it out. Please do. Now, tonight, I'm going to go into this biblical overview book, and I'm going to break down some stuff about Purim. And then I'm going to go into some scriptures. I'm going to go into some history. And I'm going to go into so many things tonight. So first off, we're going to page 79 of the Bible overview. And I'm going to use the Bible overview. I'm going to use my Stone Edition tonight. And I'm going to use my From Babylon Timbuktu book. And I'm also going to get have some stuff off Wikipedia that I'm going to be going into. But when we're saying Purim, the word pure is Akkadian, the language of ancient Babylon and Assyria. The biblical writer explains that the word pure means lot. According to the book of Esther, the 9th chapter, 24th verse, Haman cast lots to choose a day to destroy the Jews. However, God's plans were different. Instead of destroying the Jews, God chose that day to deliver them and grant them victory. Feast of Purim derives its name from this word. So when we're getting into Purim, and we're getting into Purim, I'm going to go on the website for you all, because like I said, I could go into so many things and so many other views about Purim, but what's to our Hebrew brothers and sisters who are out here in Israel teaching and the true meaning of Purim. So go to Kabbalah.org. It says the jolly Hebrew holiday of Purim is celebrated every year on the 14th of the Hebrew month of Adar. Late winter, early spring. Purim 2024 begins on Saturday night, March 23rd, and continues through Sunday, March 24th, extending through Monday in Jerusalem. Commemorates the divinely orchestrated salvation of the Hebrew people in the ancient Persian Empire from Haman's plot to destroy and kill and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, infants and women in a single day. Literally, lots in ancient Persian. Purim was thus named since Haman had thrown lots to determine when he would carry out his diabolic scheme as recorded in the Megillah. So it says, what is the Purim story in a nutshell? It says the Persian Empire of the 4th century BCE extended over 127 lands, and all the Jews were its subjects. When King Ahasuerus had his wife, Queen Vashti, executed for failing to follow his orders, he arranged a beauty pageant to find a new queen, a Jewish Hebrew girl named Esther, found favor in his eyes and became the new queen, though she refused to divulge her nationalities. Meanwhile, the Jew-hating Haman was appointed prime minister of the empire, Mordecai, the leader of the Jews, and Esther's cousin, defied the king's orders and refused to bow to Haman. Haman was incensed, and he convinced the king to issue a decree of ordering the extermination of all the Jews on the 13th of Adar, a date chosen by a lottery Haman made. So pretty much right there was this guy named Haman who was pretty much was appointed pretty much leader of the of Persia at that time. So when he tried to destroy all the Hebrews that were in Iran, as we call Persia at that time. Now, the reason why I decided to go into on this site, the Kabbad.org, about them, about the Purim, is because this site has everything when it comes time for Hebrew learning and Hebrew history. Now, something that they just said, Haman was trying to destroy all the Jews at that time. Now, when we're looking at the Hebrews and the Jews and Iran, there's something that I want to go into, because when we're looking at the Mesopotamia, the Mesopotamia is Babylon, Iraq, is considered Iran, also Pakistan, India, and there's, when we're looking at the Hebrews that were trying to destroy still Hebrews in Iran still to this day. A lot of people don't know this history. Of course, when we go to Wikipedia.com, a lot of these Hebrews in Iran, Iraq, and Pakistan were called the Sidi people, now called the Sidi people. The Sidi people, also known as the Shidi, Sidi, or Sahi, are an ethnic minority group inhabiting Pakistan and India. They are primarily descended from the Bantu peoples of the Zanje coast in Southeast Africa, most of whom came to the Indian subcontinent through the Arab slave trade. Others arrived as merchants, sailors, indentured servants, and mercenaries. Now, when we're getting into the Siddiq people, right? Now, a lot of these people are of Hebrew descent. Salakia. A lot of Israelite brothers and sisters, y'all might joke. Y'all might joke when y'all see a lot of the people from the Middle East. And y'all say, well, a lot of them are just sand niggas. A lot of them are Arabs and all that. There's a reason why a lot of these people are Arab descent. Now, y'all hear Rabbi David Israel talking crap about the Arabs. And y'all hear me talking crap about them all the time. And More Ariya Israel, he know. Me and him, we were former Muslims at one time. So he knows this history about the Hebrews in the Middle East, Iran, and Iraq, and Pakistan, and India. All the dark-skinned people that you see that are over there, and there are also a lot of Hebrews in Asia, too, that are also considered of Hebrew descent. A lot of these Hebrews or Israelite descent people are still there, but they're small groups. And the reason why is because of the plot to destroy these people. When it comes time for Hebrew, we see in the Americas, Israelites, we go through so much every day. So many sisters go through so much every day. But when we talk about Israelites in other countries, we seem to look at the damn 12 tribe chart, and which over here at Liberation Tabernacle, we don't follow that. But we fail to look at the Israelites that were affected by the same thing we were affected by at one point, and which they're still being affected by. And we refuse to see the ones in the Middle East. There's still Hebrews to this day over there. There's some in Asia also called the Negrito by Hyman's plot. The Negrito, the term Negrito, meaning little black people, refers, according to Wikipedia, refers to several diverse ethnic groups who inhabited isolated parts of Southeast Asia and the Andaman Islands. Populations also described as the Negritos include the Andamanese people, including their great Andamanese, the Angi, the Jarara, and the Sentinelese of the Andaman Islands, the Samang peoples. Among them, the Batak people of Peninsular Malaysia, the Manik people of southern Thailand, as well as the Aita of Luzon, and the Aitai and the Tamundak of Panay, the Mamanwa of Mindanao, and about 30 other officially recognized ethnic groups in the Philippines. So these were indigenous people, and they were, like I said, they were also a part of the Sidi people, or the, as we call it, the Hebrews people of the Middle East and of Asia. So these people were also affected by plots of being destroyed. Now those are some people who were amongst Hebrews that fled from other places especially for the Middle East, to get away from persecution, okay? And the Arab slave trade was terrible, and it still affects still to this day. In Iran, is still they still have charge over majority of Iran also still to this day. So Hyman wasn't the only one. So it says, let me get into the rest, go back to the Kabbad. It says, according to Kabbad.org, before I go back to his article about Pure, I just want to break that down about who some of these people were who were of Hebrew descent in the Middle East and in Asia. I want to go into some of that. So it says, Mordecai. Mordecai galvanized all the Jews, convincing them to repent, fast, and pray to God. Meanwhile, Esther asked the king and Haman to join her for a feast. At the subsequent feast, Esther revealed to the king her Hebrew identity. Haman was hanged. Mordecai was appointed prime minister in his stead. And a new decree was issued. The granting the Jews a right to defend themselves against their enemies. On the 13th of Adar, the Jews mobilized and killed many of their enemies. On the 14th of Adar, they rested and celebrated in the capital city of Shushan. They took one more day to finish their job. So let me go into the downfall of Hyman. I'm going to the downfall of Hyman in a second, but I'm gonna go more to I'm gonna go into some more things, because when we're looking at Queen Esther, Queen wasn't afraid to stand up, okay, to some of these Hyman. She wasn't, and that's the reason why we celebrate Queen Esther, because she wasn't afraid to stand up for her Hebrew brothers and sisters. She knew the wrong that was going on. She knew that she knew what was going on with her people, the plot to destroy her people. She knew about this. Now, when we go to the Kabbad.org, another article about Queen Esther, it says during the 3 days of her fast, Esther ceaselessly prayed to God to grant her acts success and her attempt to save her people. On the third day, she mustered all of her courage and made her way to the throne room. On the way, she felt divinely inspired, and through weak and pale from the prolonged fast, she boldly ignored the king's bodyguard and entered the throne room. The king was on his throne surrounded by his attendants. Among the king's attendants were Haman's sons and followers. they could scarcely disguise their glee at seeing Queen Esther enter the throne room uninvited. If only the king would ignore the unbidden guest, Esther would be no more. Just when the king saw Esther, standing at the entrance, she looked very pale and troubled, but there was something about her face that made her look like an angel. As Scabbelforosh eagerly extended to her his golden scepter, and Esther, overcome with relief and hope, drew near and touched the top of her scepter. Greatly surprised at Esther's unexpected visit, the king asked her affectionately, "What troubles you, my dear Queen Esther? And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom, it shall be granted to you." Esther did not see a favorable opportunity to speak to the king of her true intention. Just then, so she merely asked the king if he would come to a banquet she had prepared especially for his prime minister, Haman. The king immediately granted her request and sent for Haman to appear at the banquet. Esther had so many reasons for inviting Haman to the banquet. Instead of inviting the king alone, the most important reason was that she did not want the Jews to rely solely on her, but to constantly remember that their name, salvation, lay with God, him alone. So, Queen Esther pretty much, you know, had wanted, she pretty much wanted to, you know, she pretty much invited Haman to his dinner, and she tried to persuade him to stop trying to mess with her people. Now, when we're going into pleading, and we hear about all this, these sisters out here in politics. And Moray Aria, you know I'ma go into this. I'ma go into some of these sisters out here. We don't see too many sisters out here standing up against oppression of our people. We get women in office that go in some of these offices. A lot of them are coons. They shuck and jive, and they do all kinds of stuff. A lot of these sisters in politics, they steal the money, and they don't help their people out when they get in office. There's a lady who is in the media right now, who is doing our brothers and sisters wrong right now in Dalton, Illinois, lady by the name of Tiffany Hanger. Now, Moray REI is real. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're breast, I can hear you, brother. REI. Yes, sir. I can hear you. I just have myself muted, so I wouldn't make no background noise. Yes, sir. I got it.
You know, we got some of these sisters in politics. They in politics, and they are out here spending up the money, buying themselves clothes, buying themselves new weeds, and buying and living extravagant and living off of the people's money, but they're not helping the people.
God.
We see Tiffany Hanger out there spending up the city's money in Dalton, Illinois right now. She's not helping the people. You know, these sisters getting politics, and they do all kinds of wrong crap behind the scenes. We see Kamala Harris, who is a witch, who is also pushing the wrong politics. Soon she got in the office. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but before Kamala Harris became vice president, she was one of the district attorneys. And excuse me, I don't know if I'm wrong with her position or not, but Kamala Harris was over, I think it was San Francisco and Cali, and she was held a political office, and she was in there locking single mothers up for their kids being truant from school, locking them up. Kamala Harris was locking single moms up if their kids did not go to school. Yeah. And we see these black women out here, Kamala Harris, they stepping and doing all this stuff, parading around, you know, vouching for this sister, and she's all out there, before she got in office, was locking sisters up. You know, she was pushing, before she got in the office, she was on the Breakfast Club talking about she like Cardi B. Cardi B is a lady. The fact that you will be a lady in office and say you like Cardi B, if knowing Cardi B promotes the most ratchet stuff, media, that's not nobody you want to represent you as a sister. So we have to be aware of some of these females who are in political offices, because they're not suited for your best interest. We see other so-called sisters out here. Michelle Obama, you know, she was in office. She did not do not one damn thing for Israelite brothers and sisters. She did not, her or her damn husband, Barack Obama, didn't do not one thing for our sisters. Not one thing. So when we're looking at Michelle Obama and her husband, Barack Obama, they was pushing the transgender agenda. They was pushing for same-sex LGBT marriages. Now, when we're looking at that, if you're a real sister, which Michelle Obama is a transsexual, but I'm not going to get into that. She saw her husband, Barack Obama, stood there pushing, stamping laws for same-sex couples to get married. That's not a real woman. That's not a real woman that looking out for her people. She was not looking out for her people. The fact that you as a sister will allow, you know, you got a husband, and you're supposed to have an image as a couple, Adam and Eve, and you're going to push for a man to get married to another man. You was disgusting. You was damn disgusting. So we have to be very mindful of the wickedness of some of these females who hold political positions, because they're not in for your best interest. just because you got a black face and you hold office and you're a female, don't mean these sisters are for you. Am I right, Maura Aria?
God.
You know, when we're looking at this world right now, you know, it's a shame. We ain't got too many sisters out here representing sisters, trying to teach the sisters something good. We don't. It's very few. And especially in politics, we had another sister who was doing wrong, Ketanji Brown Jackson. You remember her, Maura Aria?
Yes, sir.
You remember Ketanji Brown Jackson? Then somebody asked her what is the difference between a man and a woman. She said she didn't know. They sat up there, asked her when she was up there, somebody, a white, asked her, what is a female? She said she couldn't answer that question. But she is a black woman. Something's wrong with that. So we got sisters that don't know what a woman is. You a woman, you're supposed to know. You want leadership. You're supposed to be a sister in leadership, supposed to be representing black women, and you don't know what a woman is? That is terrible. Thing right now where we see females in leadership, it's not right right now. We don't see, you know, Queen Esther is not in none of them sisters in politics. Am I right, Maury?
That's right.
They could not represent Queen Esther. They could not. That's the reason why some of them don't want to claim Hebrew identity. Because they ain't strong enough. They know if they were strong enough to represent Hebrew identity, they know they'll be fired quick. Them sisters be thrown off them damn jobs. They'll fire them quick. Get your ass up out of here. They'll say that quick. They'll fire your ass quick. You take that blonde wig off. You take them damn fake fingernails off. And you represent yourself as a strong sister. You ain't got your titties out. You ain't got your booty out. They'll get rid of you quick. So this is something that is gone too far. You know, we looking at Planned Parenthood. We looking at the abortion rate. You know, we looking at the abortion rates amongst African-American women. And I'm going to get that rate out right now. I'm going to get that rate out right now. I'm going to get that right on now. It says right here. And this is kind of an old article, but this is something I want to get into because, you know, when it comes time for the plot to destroy the Hebrew, which Haman, who was the leader of Persia at this time, was trying to do. This is something that's destroyed our community. Abortions. Now, let's get this out right here. And this is something I went to. This is something I went to get out. I wanted to get out too. And this is our article, according to an article that I wanted to read, and it's and this is right here on Democrat. It's the demographics of abortions in America. Let's get this out right here. This is an article I read, and it was on the ERLC.com. And it was an article from 2022. But I just wanted to get this out because we talk about the plot to destroy Hebrews. The demographics of abortion in America, and it was published on ERLC staff May 6, 2022, about 2 or 3 years old, but this was a sad thing right here. It says the majority of abortions, because when we're looking at, you know, the sisters, that's one thing that they, you know, love to push was the abortion. It says women of color have the most abortions. Among the 30 areas that reported race by ethnicity data for 2019, non-Hispanic white women and non-Hispanic black women accounted for the largest percent of all abortions, 33.4% and 38.4% respectively, and Hispanic women and non-Hispanic women in the other race category accounted for smaller percentages, 21% and 7.2% respectively. Non-Hispanic women had the lowest abortion rate, 6.6 abortions per 1,000 women. In ratio, 117 abortions per 1,000 live births. And non-Hispanic women, black women, had the highest abortion rate, 23.8 abortions per 1,000 women and ratio 386 abortions per 1,000 live births. So this is something that, you know, and this might be a little bit old of an article, but it's still, you know, something that we have to look at. It's something that we still have to look at because abortions was put out there specifically, especially in so-called black Israelite communities. Everywhere I went, there was a Planned Parenthood. Matter of fact, in the state of Virginia, they supposed to had banned abortions here, but there's still places that still do them. I go into so-called white communities. I ain't see no Planned Parenthood. But when I went to the hoods and so-called black communities, I see Planned Parenthood everywhere. Now, this was an issue. And I did not see too many sisters and politics talking about this. Not to me, sisters was talking about this. All these females that was in politics that was black did not speak about out against abortions, not one time. But they're all about pushing food stamps, welfare, government assistance. And don't get me wrong, I grew up, my mother was a single mom. My grandparents raised me, but my mom, she was a single mom. We all had different dads, me and my brothers. But the single mother life as far as so-called African-American women. When we're looking at the 1940s, 1950s, and 1960s, we start to look at the 1970s, and you did not see too many married Israelite sisters. You did not see too many. You did not see, start to see the decline of sisters on married in the 1980s, then 1990s. All of a sudden, it was this strong black women mentality. And I don't know if y'all remember this. You had women like Betty Wright. You know, you had women like, what is Betty Wright had that song, After the Pain? Maureen. You remember that song, After the Pain?
Nicole, yes, sir.
You start to see these sisters making songs talking about getting away from talking good about the man, but talking bad about the man. Millie Jackson, you know, she was another one. She was in that song with Richard Dimplesfield, She's Got Papers on Me. And you heard her at the end cussing Richard Dimplesfield out. Mr. Look So Good, what is that? She's got papers on me. You know, you start to see these black women against black men. And this is something that we don't talk about all the time. But there has been a issue with sisters not representing their brothers. Now, me, I never knew my biological father. And I speak about this all the time, about the pain and the hurt that I suffered being the only son of my mom that did not know my father. But I say it all the time. If my mom had been married and she had the same man, would I have turned out better? So this is something that they have pushed. They have pushed for the father to be out the home. And so you see the black man and a black woman start to push away from each other. And this is something that has been pushed by the media. And this is a trick and a plot that they have put out there, especially in politics, the strong black woman mentality has been put there to mess with you all, to make the sister feel like she is better than the black man. She is better than the Israelite man. And this is something that we have to be cautious of. This is a trick. This is a snake plot. And so this is a snake plot. So we have to get out of that. We have to get out of that, falling for the snake plot. So you see sisters not representing a Israelite man too much. You start to see sisters not representing a man too much. Let me get me a drink real quick. Let me go take me a little sip of this water real quick.
Yeah, everybody, we thank y'all for tuning in right here to Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network as Moray David Israel, Rabbi David Israel, go into Purim. All right, he's back. Peace.
Yeah, I'm back. I just had to give you a little sip of water. And so when we're getting into the division, right? And we're looking at the first division that was put out there, Adam and Eve. I don't know if you remember that Adam and Eve or not. Eve got tricked by the serpent, and she pretty much had got tricked by her, the serpent, and the serpent broke her marriage up between her and her husband. Well, that's what's happening nowadays. Sisters is falling for this, the serpent's advice. You don't need this brother. You don't need this brother. And they're starting to fall for this. Get that bag. Now, that's something I want to push out there for y'all. Have y'all noticed that majority of these sisters who are successful, that's of the representing sisters in politics, none of them are married? You're looking at Stacey Abrams. She wasn't married. You are even Kamala Harris, she wasn't married at first. She got married before she got in office as vice president. You notice how some of these so-called black women in leadership, they're not married. We're looking at women on TV shows, like the show Being Mary Jane with Gabrielle Union. Mary Jane was not married. She was not married. She was not married. You look at a lot of these so-called successful black women who are portrayed on TV, if they are married, they're married to a white man. Okay. Or if they are married to a black man, they got a transgender son. We're looking at Magic Johnson. His wife is rich. They got a transgender son, E.J. Johnson. Magic Johnson's son with a black woman walking around with a woman clothes on, acting like a little bitch. We're looking at the way, you know, Gabrielle Union's supposed to be a successful black female actress. Son walking around like a little damn sissy. Zaya Wade. You mean to tell me you're supposed to be a successful black woman, successful black man, and something wrong with these sons that you're raising? Fathers in the house. Something's wrong with that. There's that plot there that destroyed the family dynamic. The strong family dynamic has been destroyed. We're looking at Will Smith and Jada Pinkett. They're supposed to be represented as a strong black couple. But look at both of their kids. Weird as hell. We find out Will Smith was a damn sissy. Jada Pinkett is supposed to be this strong black woman, but we find out she's a bulldagger and a freak. We're looking at Oprah and Steadman. Oprah's supposed to be this strong so-called black woman, TV reporter, TV news anchor before, TV host on her own network. But she's not married to Stedman, and she's gay as hell. Man, look, gay as hell. That light skin with that little mustache she got, he look gay as hell. And they got Oprah, she a damn lesbian. She gone with them on Gail King for the last 100 years. There's always, when you see the representation of a so-called black woman, they always make them disformative. If they're in the spotlight, they got to have something wrong with them. Now, I know everybody's not perfect, but goddamn, why is it they always have to make them look crazy? All Oprah Winfrey's movies that she had made the color purple, that she had to make the strong black man Danny Glover abusive. They made the movie that Oprah made called Beloved. Danny Glover in the movie was supposed to be gone with his own daughter. But he was a strong black husband. Oprah made another movie with Sissy directing, named Lee Daniels. And what is it called? Precious. They made Precious this fat, dark-skinned sister with mental health problems, and she was obese and got picked on, and then they made her mother, who was played by Monique, this dysfunctional black mother who couldn't stand her damn kids. Look at what they've done. They make all these black female sisters that's supposed to be representative of black women dysfunctional. This is a damn problem. And that's the reason why I say the entertainment industry, y'all got to stop looking at that. Because they have put black women up against black men. So when we're looking at, Tyler Perry, we're looking at his role, Madea. Madea is was funny at first. I admit it, he was funny. Back in the day when Tyler Perry had his little plays, it was funny. But then when you start to look at the Madea character made black women look crazy, made black women look foolish, made them look crazy, made them look like criminals. That was not no good representation of a so-called black woman or a so-called Israelite woman. Even when we're looking at the 1970s, and we're looking at shows like with the actress Moms Mabley. Moms Mabley, Maury Arriott, do you remember Moms Mabley?
Yes, sir.
The old lady, she was all crazy, always into somebody's business. That was another damn show that misrepresented sisters. This is something that y'all have to get out of, man. That was a transition from the early 1900s to the 1970s to see this decline and this downing of strong sisters. And even when we're looking at the so-called representation of sisters nowadays. Megan Thee Stallion, Moray Aria, I'm put your niece Glorilla in there.
Uh-oh. Her name is Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. That's not no real rotation of a sister we need to see.
No, sir.
The scripture says in the book of Proverbs, the 7th chapter, the 11th verse, she is loud and defiant, and her feet by not the house. This is disgusting the way they represent sisters. Got the sisters twerking their ass all on the TV. Like Suge Knight said, all in the videos, all on the records. It's disgusting. And even when, and I'm gonna put something out there because I don't even give a damn. I'm gonna talk about it tonight because we're talking about Queen Esther, who is supposed to be a representation of what sisters should be. I'm gonna talk about this one so-called sister, that's an evil demon also, Nepasida. She's another wicked, evil lady.
Ain't nothing but the devil.
Oh, yeah. Nothing but the all up there putting spells all on the channels. We see another one, Michi X, another evil, wicked demon. All up there cussing and talking crap on YouTube, talking about we need this, we need that. We don't need do nothing but not listen to you. You ain't a posh dog, bad representation of sisters. All of them are witches. Ayanna Van Zandt is another witch. Cynthia G is another witch. Yvette Cardinale is another bulldagger and another damn witch. Talking about this ADOS. Talking about you don't get reparations. Black people ain't getting no damn reparations. And even if you did get reparations, what would you do? Would you buy jewelry? Black people would buy car, jewelry, and dumb stuff. That's what black people would do if they did get reparations. They wouldn't do nothing with it, but put it back in somebody else's pocket. That's right. So, yeah, it's the evil representation that they put out there for sisters. Y'all think y'all being smart. Oh, we got to get committed. Y'all know y'all don't. You see, they used to have a sister named Zaza Ali. She was another evil, wicked female, too. I don't care. I'm getting on all these so-called conscious sisters out here. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to talk about them tonight. Because there ain't no representation of no freedom fighters. There ain't no representation of no sister that's doing nothing good for you. These are wicked women y'all need to not listen to. They had another lady up there called Her Royal Roots. And she was a feminist. She's supposed to be a Hebrew sister. You remember her, Aria?
Oh boy, do I. Yeah, I remember her.
Some of y'all Israelite women out here, we thought y'all had a good leader. Y'all ain't had nothing but a feminist trying to break up the relationships. Yeah, Her Royal Roots. Hilda, Huilda, Huda, whatever her name is. Or something about always trying to break up stuff. She was always on some feminist stuff. Always. a female's job is to look out for her family. That's right. Not to put down no brothers. And this is the issue. We don't have no sisters out here in entertainment industry. Some of y'all sisters might have to just turn YouTube off. Hate to say it. But the only YouTube channel y'all need to listen to is Liberation Tabernacle. Yeah, that's the only YouTube channel y'all need to listen to. If y'all want to search for real Hebrew truth, Liberation Tabernacle, yeah. That's the only one got truth. Okay? Because we don't promote that over here, that feminist agenda. We promote healthy relationships. That's what we promote. We promote come together in Yah's name. So stop looking at these entertainers as leadership. Okay? Sisters out here, Queen of Fool is not no good leader. No, y'all listen to Queen of Fool. She was not no good leader. So I'm going to go back to Queen Esther, and I'm going to something that she did. So Queen Esther, we going to get back to this sister. I'm going to go back to the articles on Kabod.org. It says, I'm gonna go back to the Kabod article about Queen Esther. It says right, Haman's downfall, because Queen Esther defeated this Haman guy. It says Haman's downfall, and Haman was this guy who was destroying the Hebrews that Queen Esther stood up against. It says, with bowed head and trembling knees, Haman went in search of Mordecai. At that moment, Mordecai was sitting in the synagogue, surrounded by his beloved students. Lifting his eyes, he saw Haman through the window. Escape, dear children. The villain is coming. But the brave children replied, no, will we not leave you now. We will have lived with you, and we will die with you. Mordecai was saying his last prayers when Haman came in. Haman waited patiently until he finished, and then said to him, Mordecai, son of Abraham the Hebrew, you have truly a great God. Whenever you pray to him, he hears your prayers and performs miracles for you. Now arise, Mordecai, and put on these royal robes, this golden crown. Haman, you villain, son of Amalek, why do you come here to mock me? It is not enough that you want to hang me. Quiet, Mordecai. No, answered Haman bitterly. I do not to mock you. Would that what you say were true, but at last it is the king's own command. Mordecai could scarcely believe his ears. The children began to dance for joy. Presently, Mordecai said gravely, honorable prime minister, am I fit to don the royal robes in the state I am in? For 3 days I have fasted. I am covered. covered with ashes. Haman nodded. He took Mordecai to the public baths where he washed him and anointed him with finest oils and perfume. As Haman was trimming Mordecai's hair, Mordecai heard him sighing and groaning to himself. "Why do you moan so, son of a Gag?" asked Mordecai. "What prime minister would not moan upon turning into a barber?" Haman said, "At last you are doing a job that befits you. It is like the good old days again when you were a barber in the village of Karzum, remember?" asked Mordecai. So they were setting Haman up. And they pretty much were setting him up. So let's go down to, to the rest of this article, because we don't get down to see, we don't see what's going, we don't go on to the next part, because like I said, Haman pretty much was invited to Queen Esther's banquet and tried to, you know, get him to, you know, listen to him, you know, to try to plead with him to try to stop him from killing her people. So this is what happened at the end. So the end of Haman, pleased and obviously still in a festive mood from the events of the day, Ahasuerus sat in the king chairs that night at the banquet. What fun it was to see Haman accord such great honor to his most hated adversary. That would teach Haman a well-earned lesson. So they were setting Haman up. "Esther, my queen," said Ahasuerus affectionately, "surely there is some request you wish to make. You have not arranged these two banquets for the pleasure of Haman's company." So Haman people knew that they were going to set up something to get him. "Pray tell me, what is your petition? Even to the half of my kingdom, it will be granted to you. Only do not ask me to permit the Jews to commence construction of their temple again, for that is in my half of the kingdom." Esther, who regarded the great honors bestowed upon Mordecai that day as a truly auspicious sign from heaven, was confident and sure through her voice shook with emotion. "Your Majesty, I ask only that my life be spared together with the lives of my people. For my people and I have been treacherously condemned to die, to be mercilessly butchered and destroyed." So pretty much Queen Esther invited this man to dinner who was destroying her people and was pleading, "Why do you do this to my people? You ain't going to hear Kamala Harris doing this. You ain't going to hear Ketanji Brown Jackson doing this. You ain't going to hear Tiffany Haynes doing this. You ain't going to hear Condoleezza Rice doing this. You don't hear no Oprah doing this crap. You don't see none of these black women that's in leadership talking like this to the enemy. You don't see this. REI, do we see any black women in politics standing up for their people?"
"No, sir."
"Do? Hell no, we don't." But Queen Esther was standing up against the enemy at her own banquet. "You ain't going to see this. Even Farrakhan have his female ministers acting like Uncle Tom's. When Ava before Muhammad was alive. She ain't stand for her people either. Tynetta Muhammad was a witch. And I don't care if she's dead or not. She was a witch too. She was promoting Scientology before she died, which the Scientology was number one in aborting babies on the Sea Org. Scientology, which Farrakhan promoted at one time, was against sisters. They had black women as slaves on the Sea Org. Yeah, so we ain't going to hear that. Them Arabs that Farrakhan promote have sisters as slaves. You don't see nobody in the Nation of Islam talking crap to them damn Arabs that's destroying these sisters. Because you know why? Because they right on in with the Arabs. And Arabs don't like black women for nothing. They don't. None of them Arabs. They got black women as slaves in Sudan. Matter of fact, in Iran, they got something called female circumcision. You ever heard of that, Moray Aria?
Oh, yes, sir.
Female circumcision. In Arab countries, they have something called female circumcision, which they cut black women's vagina up to make them not have sensation in their sexual life, which is something to destroy sisters. Yeah, so them Arabs ain't got no love for women either. And definitely not no black women. My. So let's keep on reading. Queen Esther, according to this article, it says, she said, who has this Hyman said to Queen Esther, who has dared to do such a thing? Cried the king, trembling with dread at the knot that his own beloved queen was not safe in his palace. A very wicked and cruel man, a ruthless enemy, who has already sent Queen Vashti. Wait one second. Go get me a drink of water real quick. Wait one second. I had to get me a drink of water. It is, my voice is getting a little rusty. I'll get me some water. Go get me some water. My. This water tastes good, too. So let's keep on reading. So let's go on to the, it says, so Queen Esther pretty much, can you hear me?
God.
I had to get some water real quick. It says, let me get back to my place. It says, so a very wicked and cruel man, a ruthless enemy who has already sent Queen Vashti to her doom, and now would also take my life. The villain is no other than this wicked Haman. And Queen Esther pretty much had confronted Haman on his shit. It says, cried Esther, pointing an accusing finger at Haman. Haman grew pale and was terrified. He sank at Esther's feet, begging for mercy. So Queen Esther pretty much had the enemy shook by her words. So Queen Esther, you ain't, like I said earlier, you ain't going to have no sisters talking like this to no damn enemy. You ain't. You ain't going to have that. But Queen Esther was talking like this because she had Yah on her side. So it says, but King Ahasuerus Varos turned to him with uncontrollable rage. So it is you who dare plot against the queen and my own home. In a fit of wrath, he ran out in the garden for a breath of air. To his great amazement, the king noticed several people cutting down the rare and exotic trees of the royal gardens. In reality, they were not people, but angels disguised as humans, sent down to arouse to the utmost the king's wrath at Haman. Who has ordered you to do this? Roared the king. Haman answered the gardeners. So Haman pretty much is backtracking and reneging on his plot to destroy the Hebrews. Because Queen Esther pretty much called his ass out on his shit. She ain't kept. And so she had Haman shook. That's what we need. We need most sisters to shake some of these evil, wicked people who try to destroy our people. Ain't that right, Aria? We need some strong sisters like that. Queen Esther was a strong sister, won't she?
Yes, sir. That's right.
We ain't got that. You ain't going to get that out no Oprah. You ain't going to get that out no goddamn sexy really. You ain't going to get that out of them. You ain't going to get that out no Glorilla. You ain't going to get that out no damn Beyonce. You ain't going to get that out of them because they ain't real. They ain't fighting for nothing. So, so let's get back and get me a sip of water. It says, Haman answered the gardener like a wounded animal. I dropped something. Y'all know I got it all. It says, so like a wounded animal, the king rushed back to the banquet hall to find the miserable Haman prostrate on the queen's couch, still begging for his life. So Queen Esther pretty much dropped this nigga down to his knees. She ain't kept. That's a strong sister right there. It says, at that moment, Charbonnet, one of the king's attendants, said, is the king aware that Haman erected a gallows 50 cubits high for the loyal Mordecai? There's towering over Haman's house, hanged by Haman thereon, by the king. So they pretty much Queen Esther hung this nigga. She had this nigga hung. That's a strong sister. Anytime you hang your own enemy, whoo! It says, hang the vile Haman thereon, cried the king. Haman was led away and hanged upon the very gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And only then was the king's wrath appeased. Whoo! So Haman pretty much was hung. Haman was hung. So let me go ahead and say the next part. King Ashtaroth now had every reason to be proud of his queen, Esther, for he had learned that she was a descendant of the royal family of Saul, the first king of the Jews. When the king heard that Mordecai was a descendant of the same noble family, and in fact was Queen Esther's cousin, he immediately appointed him to succeed Haman as prime minister. Ashtaroth presented Haman's palatial house to Esther and the royal signet, which he had taken from Haman, he gave to Mordecai. Although Mordecai and Esther was deeply grateful to the king for his favors and could feel safe under the king's own protection, they did not for a minute lose sight of the dangers that still faced their people. Haman's cruel decree was still unchanged, and unless it was withdrawn this time, the Jews would be lost. Esther therefore again beseeched the king on behalf of her doomed brethren. She fell at his feet and with tears in her eyes pleaded with the king to avert the terrible fate that threatened them. So she pretty much like, please do something about this. The evil, wicked leadership that our people was under is still going to affect us. You ain't going to see no sister do that. Hey, Aria, you give some of these, they give some of these damn sisters a good hair weed and some damn money in a bag. They'll shake their ass and twerk, won't they? Sisters nowadays won't stand strong like that. You would they?
No, sir.
They would not do like Queen Esther. They, you give them some money, they twerking like a freaknik. They out there twerking like what's it called? Like Jasmine Cashmere or Pinky. They're out there shaking at their booty. Shoot. They're out there shaking like a Mardi Gras celebration. Shoot. They out there twerking, shaking. What is it? Throwing that ass in a circle. Them sisters, they sell out quick. Like scripture saying, Ecclesiastes 7:7, surely oppression making the wise man mad, but a gift will destroy the heart. These sisters won't stand like Queen Esther. They won't. Shoot, they'll be twerking like it's a DJ Jimmy video. You remember DJ Jimmy?
Oh, yes, sir.
Sister, you be twerking. We don't start this all right. We got DJ Jimmy in the house tonight. Sister used to be twerking off DJ Jimmy. Them sisters, you had them a Birkin bag with a couple of stacks, they twerking. They forget all about the struggle. Shoot. They forget all about the struggle. Shoot. Hey, they had some of these sisters come and go from the conscious community. That's why we don't follow the conscious community. That's why we don't follow the camps and some of the other tabernacles in the Israelite community because of that. We got sellouts all over the Hebrew community. Ain't that right?
That's
they
right.
Sell out for anything. You know when ISUPK sold out the vaccine, though, telling people to get vaccinated? You remember that?
Oh, yes, sir. That's right.
They was damn, they gave them some money. They was up there. You got to get vaccinated. What? What the hell? These niggas was twerking worse than Megan Thee Stallion. They was twerking like a damn DJ Spanish Fly song. Shoot. Shoot. They won't no joke. Shoot. So yeah, so let's see what it says. It says, how can I endure to see the evil that will come upon my people? How can I endure to witness the destruction of my kindred? Esther cried in anguish. So Queen Esther was serious about what she was talking about. She was like, I can't go for that. She was like, Hall & Oates said, I can't go for that. No can do. As if the king was deeply moved and he wanted to allay her grief. Unfortunately, it was not so easy to rescind the decree. For it was sent out by the order of the king, and his name bearing the king's own seal. Such as was decreed was invocable. Finally, a plan was hit upon. A new decree was to be issued in the name of the king, declaring that Haman had abused the king's confidence by issuing falsified decrees. They pretty much found out all the shit that Haman was doing. Instead of issuing decrees to do away with the persecution of the Jews throughout the vast Persian Empire, as was the king's intention and desire, the treacherous Haman had ordered the extermination of the loyal Jewish Hebrew subjects. A further proof of the king's displeasure with Haman was the fact that Haman had been executed by the king's express command. So pretty much they were just like, okay, we going to revert what this stuff was doing. We going to get rid of this stuff. Because they were doing Hebrews bad. So it says, So once again the king's scribes was called and the new decrees were prepared, this time dictated by Mordecai himself. The documents were immediately dispatched by royal carriers riding on swift steeds to all the governors and princes of the 127 provinces of the Persian Empire from India to Ethiopia by these royal decrees. Permission was granted to the Jews to gather on the 13th day of Adar and defend themselves against their enemies and to attack and to slay all those that would assault them. So that's something that Hebrews nowadays ain't going to do. Hey, Monterey, Ariat, you ain't going to see none of these camps on the corner defend the Hebrew. You ain't going to see them do it. But they'll defend Jesus, though. Defend Yahushua. But they won't defend Yahweh. They won't defend the Ten Commandments. Hey, Aria, you will see Hebrews beat each other up before they beat up somebody else who hate them. Ain't that right?
That's right.
Shit, Hebrews fighting like Bloods and Crips. Shoot. IUIC versus ISUPK. What kind of crap is that?
Yeah.
Shoot, they all on YouTube fighting on Sarnetta. They all up there Hebrew versus Egypt debate. What kind of crap is that? We should have been over there. The same way they fight each other, they ain't going to fight nobody else. Dang. So it says the news of the great salvation of the Jews spread. And nothing I'm going to say. More RBI. We've been talking about how these immigrants been coming over here doing all this wrong stuff to the people. And you know it's the only person that stood up against them was a female. You remember that video we saw yesterday?
Yes, sir.
But when y'all get a chance, go to Moray REI, go on Culture Freedom Radio on the last video we did yesterday. Moray REI played a video of a sister in Chicago talking about all the wrong things that Brandon Johnson was doing. And you should see this video. Sister was telling the damn Brandon Johnson off. You remember that?
Oh, yes, sir.
Brandon Johnson.
That's it. That crook. Yes, sir. That's him.
Sister. Go look. Moray REI. At the end of this lecture, I want you to tell people where they can go to find that video of Sister defending her people against this Brandon Johnson's actions that he took. We just chance after this, tell them where they can go to find that. Because that sister sounded like Queen Esther. That sister sounded like Queen Esther. She sounded like she had the spirit of Queen Esther in her. We get a chance, tell them where they can get that video. Find that video at. That's afterward, after I'm done with this presentation. So, because these, like I said, you don't hear nobody on Sarnetta talking about this. You don't hear them. I don't hear no brothers up in the Hebrew community speaking against these immigrants and these foreigners coming over here tearing up the black community. These Mexicans, these damn Puerto Ricans and El Salvadorians, they coming over here from their country, robbing, stealing, killing, doing all kinds of stuff. You know, and ain't nobody doing nothing. You don't hear none of these boys, none of these Messianic camps. You don't hear them talking about their atrocities just happening right now. You don't hear that. So yeah, we don't see that right now. Y'all over there trying to wipe up some of them Mexican ladies and some of them Puerto Rican ladies. But y'all ain't trying to talk about the wrong that they doing. Shoot. So let's go, because they coming over here getting more stuff than y'all are. Y'all are always, they're part 12 tribe. No, they ain't. No, they ain't. Y'all just trying to get some exotic pussy. That's all y'all trying to do. Shoot. Excuse my language, but that's all them brothers trying to do. They ain't trying to, they ain't calling their brothers out for the wrong that they doing. Shoot. So let's keep on going, because they ain't too many people speaking out against that. But they over here doing all kinds of wrong stuff. And these black males over here getting money and allowing that stuff to happen. They're allowing, these black leaders are allowing these people to come over here to get grants, get money, and to get more privileges than you. Yeah, these are black leaders. Sometimes these black leaders are your worst enemy. And it's a shame.
Yes, sir.
It's a shame. So let's go back to this. It says the news of the great salvation of the Jews spread like lightning to the utmost remote corners of the Persian Empire. And the Jews were now treated with respect. Man, Queen Esther did a lot. Esther, when the 13th day of Adar arrived, the day of which the Jews were to be slain and exterminated by Haman's evil forces, the Jews gathered in the public place of each town and hamlet. By order of the king, they sentenced to death all those who had revealed themselves as enemies throughout the kingdom of Persia. 75,000 would-be murderers were executed, and 500 more in Shushan. All 10 sons of Haman were likewise executed. The king brought the news to Esther. I have but one more request to make. She said, there are still many dangerous enemies at large in Shushan. They must be executed or there can be no place in the land. Let tomorrow also be set aside for a day of judgment in Shushan over the enemies of our people, who are also the enemies of all mankind. And may the bodies of Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Queen Esther did a lot. She didn't give a damn. Queen Esther was a true sister, a true soldier, a true rebel and a soldier. She didn't give a damn. She said she don't care. Get rid of all of the people who was destroying us. Exterminate. Whoo! Some truth. That's a righteous sister right there. She stood for her people. She was making sure the enemy ain't do no harm to her people. She was making sure of that. It says, Esther's request was immediately granted. And so while the Jews outside Shushan celebrated their victory on the 14th Adar, the Jews of Shushan were still grimly engaged that day in the task of riding the city of the villains and murderers. Only on the following day did they celebrate the great and miraculous salvation. Mordecai, now dressed in magnificent royal robes, became King Vicaroy and closest advisor. He served the king and his own people with humility and devotion. From that time, the 14th day of Adar was consecrated at the festival of Purim to commemorate the great miracle of our people's salvation in the downfall of the wicked Haman. And the Jews who lived in wallowed cities like Shushan consecrated the 15th day of Adar as a day of festivities. This day we now call Shushan Purim. So the name Purim means lots in commemoration of the lots that Haman had cast to choose the day most suitable for the destruction of the Jews. In heaven too, these 2 days were consecrated as everlasting festivals, which shall never be abolished. For the Hebrew people, there are to be days of feasting and gladness, of sending gifts of food, mesh, losh, mano, to one another, and of giving the gift to the poor. Matino ibo yoni. At the same time, the Jews obligate themselves to observe the fast Esther every year. On the 13th day of Adar, the day before Purim, to commemorate the fast and prayers of the Jews in those days to emulate their repentance and devout worship. The story of Purim was recorded by Mordecai in the book of Esther, Megillat Esther, which forms part of the Torah, which is read in synagogues every year on the eve of Purim again the following morning. So, like I said, that's the reason why we celebrate Purim. And that's the story of Purim. It was by Nisar Madal, published by the Kahat Publications Society, find on Kabbat.org, courtesy of them. Now, we need more strong sisters like that. There's another sister I want to put out there before I get to going. And there's another sister I want to put out there. We go to From Babylon, Timbuktu, page 87. It says, the Byzantine, page 87 from Babylon, Timbuktu. The Byzantine emperors in the 5th to 6th century persecuted the Jews constantly. Therefore, multitude of Jews were compelled to migrate to the Sahara Desert to the south. By this time, the Sahara Desert was heavily occupied with Jews. The Arabs pushed their way out of Arabia in the 7th century. In the year 640 AD, they attacked Egypt and continued across Africa. Then a Hebrew queen named Daya Kahina, who was another strong sister, just like Queen Esther. And Queen Daya Kahina was one of my favorite queens, like Queen Esther, because she didn't take no shit, especially from the Arabs. She didn't care about them Arabs. You know I can't stand some of them Arabs that destroy our people. They come up in our community with them liquor stores and them corner stores, and they make fun of our people. One of your favorite people, Maury Aria, DJ Khaled. I know you know him. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
DJ
sir.
Khaled. He one of them Palestinians. He loved to exploit black women all in his videos. Got them shaking their tail all in their videos, but he ain't got no Arab women shaking their ass in the video, do he?
But
he got the sisters shaking their tails. That's a shame. It's a shame. Ain't that some of them Arabs love to exploit the sisters, don't they? They come over here, got the sisters bent over the gas station counter. It's a shame. The same Arabs ain't right. So this Hebrew queen named Daya Kahina, she was a true Hebrew sister, just like Queen Esther, organized an army consisting of Hebrews and Berbers in order to stop the penetration of the Muslims in North Africa. This queen vanquished the Arabs, and the people of Africa rejoiced their victory. So this is pretty much what said, forget them Arabs. She got rid of them. She stood up against them Arabs. You know, she tore up their corner stores and got rid of all their little bodegas and them pizza shops and nasty old pizza and lottery that they sell. It's all against Yah. You can't sell no pork and liquor and drugs. They don't do that overseas. But they come all over here with they Islam and they two-faced Islam selling pork, liquor, and drugs in the black community. But they don't sell that over there. They don't sell that in the Muslim community. They don't do all that stuff in their community, but they come over in the Israelite community and push that crap. It's a shame. Daya Kahina ain't play that. It says this queen vanquished the Arabs and the people of Africa rejoiced at her victory. Years later, the Mohammedans fought the army of this Hebrew queen. once more, and she was defeated. She was defeated the second time because of the jealousy of different people in various tribes. Having become disgusted, her son turned Muslim and participated in the Islamic conquest of Spain in year 711 A.D. And you know what they named their corner stores? 7-Eleven. They got 7-Elevens all over their community, all over the Israelite community, selling crack and drugs and weed and all that that's messing our people's minds up. So them Arabs, they pretty much killed our good sister Diakina in 711 A.D. That's a shame. But, you know, we need more sisters out here like Diakina. We need more sisters out here like Queen Esther. There ain't too many sisters out here like that. And so we need you sisters out here who are just like, who are coming into the truth, to be strong. Be strong. We need some more strong sisters like that. And the reason why we celebrate Purim because of Queen Esther, not because of her particularly being a woman, but because of the strong courage that she had against the enemy. We need more sisters like that. So, y'all sisters, get up out of all that ignorance and help to stand by your brother. Stand by your brother. Stand by your brother. Be strong. Stand by your brother. Because it's sad, man. You know, it's sad out here, Moray Ari. It's sad out here. I hate to see it. You got transgenders talking about they represent women.
That's nasty.
That's nasty. Talking about they replacing women. Talking about they real women. No, you ain't no damn real women. Some of y'all sisters should be. Y'all, you got sisters out here clapping every time they see transgenders. Y'all should be going off about that. You got these transgenders teaching women how to walk like women. That's a shame. That's a damn shame. Y'all should be smacking them dudes upside their head for that, impersonating women. That's wrong. That's wrong. You know, got Zaya Wade talking about he a woman. No, he ain't no damn woman. Gabriel Union need to be smacking that boy upside his head and making him put on a pair of pants. He need to have a pair of pants on, a ball fade, and he need to be acting like a man. You know, instead Gabriel Union clapping for that. That ain't it. That ain't it. That ain't it. That boy shouldn't be acting like that. That boy shouldn't be acting like that. Say, stop clapping for them damn trannies. They replacing you sisters. And y'all need to stop them from being like that. Stop them, beat that crap out of them. Shoot. Tell that boy, take your heels off, take your dress off, and man up. Shouldn't be like that. We need strong men out here. We need strong sisters out here. And we need y'all to come together and make this thing work. So with that, I say, sister, straighten up. Get like Queen Esther. Get like Queen Diakina. Get it together. So with that, I'd like to say shalom, shalom, happy Purim, and tune in to us, Liberation Tabernacle, Yah on Talk Show, and tune in to us also, Liberation Tabernacle, Yah on YouTube. And I am Moray David Israel, the rabbi of Liberation Tabernacle, Yah, and I thank y'all for listening to me tonight. I'm handing this back over to Moray R.E.I. Israel, who will be closing for us. I greet you all with Shabbat Shalom. Happy Purim.
Happy Purim. Shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praises, all glory and honor to our King. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Moray, Rabbi David Israel, bringing it to y'all tonight, brothers and sisters, right here on Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. Yes, sir. What a wonderful lecture tonight. Let's get our brothers a lion. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the video right fast for the brother in out here with a prayer. But the video that the Moray was telling y'all about that we played last night is entitled, y'all can find it on YouTube, on a brother's channel. He's called The Black Conservative. Let me see. What is, get it right. His channel here is called The Black Conservative 24. That's the brother's YouTube channel. And they give you the title, The Black Conservative 24. That's the brother's YouTube channel. And the video is entitled, Black Chicago Residents Are Furious at Biden, Mayor Johnson, and the Democrats for Polarizing Immigrants. Yes, sir. Oh, illegals, I'm sorry. One more time, that name of that video is Black Chicago Residents Are Furious at Biden, Mayor Johnson, and Democrats for Polarizing Illegals. Yes, sir, on the Black Conservative 24. And like I said, brothers, we're going to get ready to get out of here. But like I said, we just want to thank you for tuning in again. Don't forget all as well, you know, we did it tonight right here on Blog Talk Live. But you could check out the Moray David Israel, his all of his lectures. Actually, he and we're just gonna get ready to upload it over there in a minute here after this here. But all of his lectures you actually can find. He hosts it live on upload it to Blog Talk. I mean not Blog Talk, Talk Show. I'm sorry, get it right in a minute. But you can listen to all of his classes right there. He hosts the wonderful podcast that y'all can check out. The iHeart, the audio podcast. You know, I do the YouTube, but Brother Moray David, all of his lectures and things are done right there on TalkShoe, which you can find them on iHeart Radio, Pandora, the Apple Podcasting Store, Amazon. Let's see who else on iHeart Radio. Just all everywhere you listen to podcasts, just look for Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. That's Y-A-H, Yah. You know, that's the short version we used to use for, you know, Yad-Heh, Wad-Heh. Some say Yahweh, some say Yehoah, different thing. We just say Yah here. So that's where you can find Moray David Israel. All of his lectures is done right there on all of those podcasting sites. But let's get ready to get out of here, brothers and sisters. Get ready to get out of here. It's a wonderful podcast. And we have now, Shabbat has actually ended as well, because now we are at, it's dark outside. So Shabbat has actually officially ended. But we're still over into, because starting at sundown, that's when we actually went into Purim. So it ends tomorrow night, which they call Sunday night, at sundown. So yes, sir, indeed. So let's get some prayers and let's get out of here, brothers and sisters. Get out of here so y'all can finish enjoying the rest of y'all night. All praises. All right. In the name of the Most High Yah, the Beneficent and Most Merciful, we thank you, dear Father Yah, for allowing Brother Moray David to share his wisdom about Purim tonight and sharing his wisdom about Esther tonight, the Queen Esther as well. Brothers, so we thank you, Yah, for giving us this day and allowing us to see this new day so we can get right on today, which we got wrong on yesterday. So bless us and watch over us. As we go out through the night, dear Father Yah, and watch over our journey as we, if you give us life on tomorrow, that you can watch over us even on tomorrow. God our minds, most definitely, most Yah. God our minds and our hearts so we can make the right decisions in life, so we can live a righteous and prosperous life, not just prosperous in wealth, but prosperous in a mindset of knowledge, dear Father Yah. So we want to just thank you again for allowing Moray David Israel to share his wisdom with us tonight about Purim. And thank you, Yah, for this blessed Shabbat day. So we say it in the Hebrew language. We say hallelujah, meaning all praise to Yad Heid Wad Heid. Hallelujah. So thank y'all, Israel, and thank y'all, brothers and sisters who are not Israel, for still tuning in and giving us an ear tonight right here for Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. All praises and all glory, brothers and sisters. So thank y'all one more time. And let's stay here, find one thing, and give Moray David Israel his applause. Night collection. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, standing ovation. All right, y'all, let's go. We gone. So like I said, one more time, we'd like to say Shabbat Shalom to you and Shalom, brothers and sisters. Stay locked in to us right here tonight, brothers and sisters, because we, you know, right here, Liberation Tabernacle of Yah, this is not the normal type of stuff that you would get. Now, we're not trying to beat up on and knock anybody else, but this is not the same old rigmarole, same old and doc, because we're not, here's what we got to say right fast. Liberation Tabernacle of Yah, we're not here to indoctrinate you into nothing. Yeah, let me hear what I said. We're not in here to indoctrinate you. I mean, you got to follow what Moray David said, Moray Arya said. No, we try to give you information for you to look at and make decisions, as Brother Carter G. Woodson, the late great Carter G. Woodson said, learn how to use your own analytical mind. Start thinking and analyzing stuff for yourself as Yah wants you to do or requires you to do. That's it. So you can stop being puppets for somebody else, right? So this is what you have to do. Stop being indoctrinated. And this is what we come here to do, as I learned from even Dr. York said, coming to break the spell, as they say, the God spell, because you got to be careful with that, because people will put you under this thing called a God spell, meaning they'll tell you, they'll be telling you something, God said do this, God said do that, under the, but they can keep you spellbound by using the word God, and that's what you got to be careful with. Don't get caught under the God spell. It's like they said, the gospel. Yeah, pay attention to that. Yes, sir. So don't get caught up under the God spell. So we thank y'all, like I said, brothers. We gone. Thank y'all. See y'all. Stay locked right here to Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. All praises. Hallelujah.